Move to the second purpose of the church today, and that is that you will need others to support you, otherwise known as fellowship, koinonia. The Greek word koinonia is a word that we don't really have an English derivative of that particular word, but it is a word that describes how we are connected in a supportive way. The Apostle Paul, in his writings, tells us that the body of Christ is like the human body. Not, you know, it's like the arms and the legs and all that description. You kind of remember that if you ever work with kids. I worked with kids for years, and I would try to do these things, and they would just go, stop doing that. It's just annoying for you to stand up there doing it. Yeah, I said, the gifts of the Spirit are like this, and they would go, no, we don't want to, that's horrible. And sometimes we have these illustrations that are not really helpful. I learned this week that that the Buddhist faith actually has now connected in. The engineers in Japan have created an artificial intelligent robot to deliver Buddhist services for anyone that would want to sign up. So there's this robot here. He will give. He has 400 options. I believe my days are numbered as a minister. That artificial intelligence is coming forward, and you just have a robot. You just got to slide over and put it in front of you, and here's number 389. Let's let it roll. I'm just kidding. I don't believe that that's the future of the church. The future of the church is people. It's always been about people. It's not about anything else other than that. It's not a building. Remember, we talked about that last week. It's not anything like that at all. Ecclesia is being called to community. In fact, the word church, ecclesia, like koinonia, is kind of that word that was defined by the New Testament churches, said that because for the first 100 years, there were no buildings. Did you know that? There were no buildings. There were no cathedrals. There was nothing. They didn't go into the Jewish synagogues. No, they left those. They just met in people's homes. Literally, Acts chapter 2 just describes that. They just met in large places. And then suddenly, the church would grow in different places, and they had to have meeting places. In verse 5, we read this. Since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other. That's that belonging. And each of us, what? Needs. Each of us needs all the others. You see, that's where that need and support come in. We need each other. We need to be together to be the church. We can't do it alone. Ecclesia is the spiritual family, and it is the way in which we work together. In fact, last week, I just remind you, if you weren't here, you wouldn't know that there's over 2 billion followers, those who follow Christ, and in all different varieties of ways that people follow Christ. And then some of us would go, I'm not sure I could do that one. That's okay. You don't have to. Because, you see, we serve a God that is so large, yet it is hard for us to comprehend. We want to see the truth. And we know that on any given Sunday, there's about 100 million believers that gather, even in the United States. They gather and they worship in different ways. And I think that that's the beauty of the church, that we need each other. Oftentimes we think, well, we need our separate ways. Well, yeah, we need our separate entities, but the church is much bigger than that. So the second purpose is the word fellowship. I just said that was the word koinonia. But it's so rich of a word, rich in ways that reminds us of how we can live. In fact, the church is the tool that God created to meet our deepest needs. That is something Rick Warren laid out years ago when he wrote the purpose. It was the purpose-driven church. He wrote that before he talked about the person. Most of you may have read The Purpose-Driven Life. That came later. That was an outgrowth. But he actually talked about the church and how the purposes of the church is the tool. You know, even the buildings are just tools. We noticed that this week when they started digging. They've got a 12-foot hole over there now. We hope we don't lose any kids this morning. If they fall out a window, they might go all the way down to the bottom. They'll have fun getting out, though. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But guys were climbing out of the with ladders. That's how deep the hole is, right? So we know that buildings are no. They need to be tools. Now, of course, we want to seal it so that we don't have water coming in. That wasn't great. We found the culprit. Rusted pipes. It's always something, right? It's always something that reminds us of that. But the church is a tool. It's God's family. And in God's family, we need someone, and that's where the support comes in, that will walk with me. And that's the promise of the church. The promise of the church is that there would be people that walk. Now, if we think about Jesus, and if Jesus gave the church, there is this gap. Especially when we read the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John give us an outline. And we have great stories about Jesus. Jesus gave us the Sermon on the Mount. Luke gave us the Sermon on the Plain. I mean, we got all these great descriptions that the theologians have looked at. But I like to look a little further into it and ask this question. When did Jesus teach and model the faith outside of those moments that we have preserved for us? I can think that Jesus went to work with Peter. Peter was a fisherman, right? Didn't Jesus show up on his boat, right? They went out to see him and said, "Hey, you're fishing." Well, actually, he wanted to push out one more time, and Peter's going, "I don't want to go fishing anymore because it was really a bad night. It was a bad night. We didn't get any fish. Why are we going fishing again?" But Jesus was doing what? He was setting it up. In fact, I would say that Jesus modeled the faith. Why the 12 disciples, actually 11, followed, right? If we think about it, Jesus left. And I think it's important. Sometimes we don't think that's important, but it is important. Those 11 followed and actually implemented the faith. They took the earliest form and started doing the things of the church. That's why the book of Acts is so powerful. The book of Acts is all about how it all happened, how the church grew in different places. It was like this construction that you could never have predicted at every direction the church went. To Ethiopia, where did you know that Ethiopia in that area is some of the oldest churches in the world? Churches that have met and never stopped meeting? Sometimes we think it's all happening in Rome. Sorry, friends, if that tradition. It's not really true. Some of the oldest churches are in places that we would just be surprised to find out it was Africa, northern Africa. And then we saw the church going the other direction. We often don't think that India had our church, but we believe that it's Thomas that went there. Remember Doubting Thomas? He's the one that had the faith. He went almost the furthest. Now, we don't know all that for sure. Some of that is just interest. But I think of how the faith got extended because the disciples took walks with people. They literally walked with people. And isn't that the description of the church? Church is not done. We walk with people. In fact, Paul said it this way, just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And I would say that oftentimes when we see other people's walk, that's what influences us the most. It makes us think, what is it about that faith that's real? In fact, it's God's answer to loneliness. Loneliness is a culprit for every age group. In fact, they say, I'll mention it a little bit later, but loneliness is the hardest on some of the oldest in the population just because things are happening at such a fast rate. Change is going on. Did you know that hotels in some parts of Europe are renting goldfish so that you won't be alone at night in your room? You can rent a goldfish and put it in your room and say, I won't be alone. So some people, I didn't know you could do that. I guess I haven't seen anybody on a flight yet which has their goldfish as a support animal, so they would be okay. But there's all kinds of ways you could do this. But I'm thinking, you know, we all need support. We all need support. I like to read the Message once in a while. I'll push back from all my study Bibles and I'll just read the Message just because I want to see what's Eugene Peterson up to here when he looks at this. And he said this at chapter 14. When you gather, again, that's the church. If you literally, it's the church. When you gather, each one of you be prepared with something useful for all. Sing a song. I will never do that if you're ever with me. I will never do that, okay? Just a promise to you. That's not my gift, all right? Teach a lesson. I might do that. Tell a story. I hope I never do that. Lead a prayer. Provide an insight. In fact, you're not done. Take your turn with no one person taking over. That way, you all learn from each other. Isn't that interesting? In fact, I don't think I've ever been in a small group where I haven't learned something from someone else. In fact, that's the joy that I've had in meeting with other people. I get to learn something. Now, sometimes we don't know what it is that we have to give, but we can learn from each other, can't we? That's the great story that the disciples give to us. Jesus gave us the church so that we can learn from each other, that we can support each other, and it's God's answer to loneliness. Secondly, in all of these W's, I did not get, I want to give credit to our friend Rick Warren, who has great, I think he has a great cadre of people that help send him words. They just send him words and then they put them together. They're incredible with that. And so here these words are, my church family will work with me. You know, not everybody will work with us. You ever notice that? It's like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. But in the body of Christ, we get the opportunity to do that. In fact, Paul says it this way. Every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. In fact, that's the testimony of the church, is when we're working together. It can be a great one. A few weeks ago, I was out. I had a break. I was on vacation. I decided to go out and play golf, so I didn't. I just found a time, and I just went out. It's always funny when I'm with people that they don't know who I am, and so I just joined up with a foursome, and then they find out I'm a pastor. The language is just amazing. It just changes right at that moment. So I don't want to tell them. I don't want to burst their bubble because they're talking and doing all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, oh, there's a pastor of the group now. We got to clean it up. You know, it's like, just because I'm here, you're going to clean it up. And I try to keep it under wraps. So as long as I can, just to see how they're thinking. And it's always funny if I'm with someone else. I was with one person, just it was he and I, so it's kind of funny. And then he started sharing with me some of the amazing things. It's amazing to me. People have this individual faith. And you've heard me talk about this, especially in the form of the cross. We see the cross here up and down. People have this personal relationship with Christ, but they've never understood, or maybe they've never had a good experience with the cross that goes this way, the connectedness, the supported part. And you know, that's sometimes the best news we can give to someone. I was talking to this fellow, and I told him I'd been in a church I was serving over 20 years. He goes, wow! And he said, how have they stood you for that long? What he literally said. I'm laughing. I'm just thinking, oh, that's such a great response. I guess they love me. That's why. I said, I guess they love me. They've put up with me for over 20 years. Give them credit for that. Isn't that funny? But I think human nature is that we try to we can do the personal. In fact, Americans are pretty good with this up and down thing. You get what I'm saying here? But when it comes to reaching out and talking to other people and being comfortable with others, to work with them, it's harder. And it's God's answer to fatigue. I think Rick Warren's right here. He makes that suggestion. He's saying sometimes we lower the tanks or drain the tanks, whether it's we're going through a tough time and physically, or maybe we're a health crisis, and physically we're not feeling well. But you know, your emotional tank will drain, your spiritual tank will drain, and it will affect all the other parts. So fatigue is real. It's not just physical. It can be emotional. It can be spiritual. And we need to be understanding of that. Thirdly, we see that my church family will watch and wait. I'm glad that they put these two together. Watch and wait. Notice it didn't say anything about talking. Now, those of you that know me know I just talk too much sometimes. I try not to do that, especially when I'm in a group, because that's the last thing that people need to hear. Sometimes it's just being there. You've heard me say that. Sometimes it's not the right words. People say, I don't know what to say to that person. I will tell you, if you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Wait. Wait for the opportunity. The Spirit sometimes will nudge. Just give you a word. Or the Spirit might say, and maybe that's why you don't want to say anything. Maybe that's okay to say, I don't have a word, but I want you to know I'm with you right now. I'm connected to you. I want to watch, and I'm going to wait with you. I'm going to rest in that and know that. Paul writes the statement of Christology, probably to me the clearest statement about who Christ was for the church. It's basically a Christology in chapter 2. And before he does that, it's actually verse 6, before he does it, he just says, think about this. Do not look only for your own interests, but take an interest in others. And then he lays out what it is that Christ was. Christ is the beginning. And then He is all things. Why do we do anything? It's only because of what Jesus has done for us. And it's God's answer to defeat. Because it's easy to feel defeat in this world, isn't it? It's easy to feel it. And we feel like, oh, I can't believe I'm feeling it. But we do. You know that our friend Mary Poppins has returned. I had to watch the old one so many times. I was so glad they got a new one. And a new version. And my wife liked to watch it. I said, oh, do we have to watch it again? Oh, it's so bad. I can't handle it. But in the new one, there is a great scene, and I saw this little vignette, and I said, I got to share it because there's things that happen to us sometimes. And here is the new Mary Poppins, and she's there with the kids, and the bowl had broken, and the bowl had a chip out of it, right? Okay, some of you know the scene, but if you don't know the scene, I'm going to set it up so you can see the vignette. And then she said, nothing is impossible. Mary Poppins believed in everything, on Spitzpot and everything else, right? She knows all those things. But here in this just this short vignette, you're going to see something in the power of being together. Of course, Mary Poppins has something. And I would say followers of Jesus have something too. You know, when we're together, we're better. When we're together, all parts sharing. Watch what happens in the scene because she grabs everyone's hand. You might have been in a group that does that. There's power in touch. There's power in the circle. Watch this video. I'll take the lights down so you can see it better.
Oh, dear.
Look, the picture's changed.
Looks as though they've broken your carriage wheel.
That they have. It's useless now.
Useless as a chocolate teapot.
The bowl is speaking.
And who do we think has got to fix that?
Ah, there's the riddle. Then what broke it fixes it, that's what I say. What do you think, Mary Poppins?
Well, I suppose we have no choice.
But how are we going to do that?
I know a bit about fixing carriages.
But we can't fix the carriage wheel. It isn't possible.
Everything is possible. Even the impossible. Now gather round, everyone. Spitzpot. Georgie, don't forget Gilly. Are we ready?
Ready.
So do we believe in those moments when we're together and we're sharing something that in this verse where Jesus said to the church, to the ecclesia, and said, I will build my gathering, my church, and all the powers of hell will not prevail, will not conquer it. You see, there's power in that prayer, not just the human connection. And I know Mary Poppins having this fun in that moment. But I think there's power in the church overcoming that defeat that is before us. And we have to believe that the church will always be there. You heard me tell you the stories that where the church is oppressed is where the church can grow. Why? Because the power of the Spirit is at work. It's the power of the Spirit. When everything's going well, people go many different ways. I can do it alone. But we know that connectedness works with that. My church family will weep with me. Cry with me, be with me at those moments that I needed. 1 Corinthians 12, we see the Apostle Paul talking about how the church resembles the body, each part working. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, then all parts are honored. In fact, he goes on to explain in chapter 12 where not one part is more important than another. It's why oftentimes I will pause, and I'm trying not to do this, but I want other people to pray. People think, well, I'll show up at an event, and people, well, we want you to pray. Your prayers are better. No, they're not. I want you to know that. My prayers are not better. They may be different than the other person, but my prayer, all prayer matters, and the simplest prayer. That's why if you're in a prayer, do this with a child. You pray with a child, it can bring me to tears because I know in that heart, the heart There's something there that's different. It's not about the words. It's about being together, isn't it? It's about what's happening in that moment. When all parts are together, we have it. And it's God's answer to despair, because there is despair out there. We've seen research again and again tell us how hard it is. We need the church at that moment to be together, to be connected, and that's why we gather. And sometimes we even physically do the touch, not because it's magical. That's Mary Poppins. We'll leave her to magic. We have the Spirit, which is much more powerful, which heals and restores and mends in ways. Loneliness is that great challenge. In fact, the Surgeon General just a few years ago did a study, and they said 40% over 45 report feeling lonely. That's a startling fact. Oh, those over 45, you think by 45, most people feel like they've made it to a place, but the world is a hard place, isn't it? We can all admit that. It's a hard place where even as we age, we begin to see how difficult the challenges are. And, you know, we start doing the research, and we kind of push back and say, we thought, well, maybe it's just the fact in this connected age where we have all this social media connections and all of that, that people are connected, but they're not. They're not connected. Because I need my church family to help guide me and to witness with me. That's that support, that I'm not alone when I'm talking about things. In fact, we do it better. And it's not just bringing people to church. That's just one place. This is just one place. There's many places we have a chance to be that witness. We have it when we do what the scriptures tell us again and again, and we learned it in the one another studies. Jesus said it a number of times, the one another's. You love for one another will prove that the world, that you are my followers. That's what a disciple is. You are my disciples. Matthew, thanks for the song that you sang at the offertory. It was perfect about what love and the church are. And we know that love and church, what are the two terms that go together? Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are what? Are my disciples. And see, that's that calling, that love. And it is God's answer to community. Can't come with the advancement in artificial intelligence. Won't come. It'll come when people just gather with people wherever they happen to be, because it's God's answer to everything at that moment. Just like the scripture that we read earlier, that Paul took to the church at Rome. You know, the first 11 chapters of Romans talks about the gospel, Paul's gospel. Basically, the first 8 chapters is the gospel. And then at the end of Romans, Paul begins to lay out, this is how the church should work. Don't just pretend. Do you know how many times I believe the church probably has been rightfully accused? You're pretending. Have you ever been accused? You talk about it. The church is hypocritical, but we're not. It's why we've picked the tagline, real stories and real people. Real stories and real people are our story. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. In this visual age, we see a shift and a change. In other words, video is more powerful than books and words. Did you know that, that we've shifted? It has left me in the dust. Can I just honestly say that today? Because I'm a word person. I didn't realize this. But I realized it when I was trying to read books on screens and I was having a terrible time. I have a Kindle. I got the Kindle on my phone. I've got all these tools, but I'm a bibliist. I got to go back to the real deal, because I'm a word person. And I look at this word enthusiasm, and I think of how sometimes I have, maybe you have too, fallen into the ditch that is, I'm just pretending. But we can't pretend. It has to be real. That word enthusiasm is a word that it actually gets its definition for in the English understanding of it. Gets its definition from the Greek word entheos. Entheos is in God. When we have true, real enthusiasm, it's because we're in God. We're really connected to what God has called us to. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Work hard and serve the Lord. You know, when you use your gift in the church, it's not for your benefit. That's the great thing. It's never for you. That's a side benefit, but the real benefit comes because it's given to the Lord, whatever that is. And there was a list that Paul gave. Did you notice that? If it's leadership, then what? Use it. If it's teaching, then use it. If it's a song, then use it. If it's giving, then do it. But you're doing it for what? For the Lord. And we do it enthusiastically. Why? Because it's real. What's real? Love is real. Love is real each time that we come back to it. And when we gather in it, that's why fellowship is more than just gathering in a hall that has a name that says it. It's a great place, and great things can happen there. But that's not where it is. It's when you're gathered with two or three. That's why our shirt says, well, we're connected, that there's something different happening. It's not just the magic. It's not magical. It's spiritual. It's the Spirit of Christ that lives in us when it empowers us to serve enthusiastically because it's real. It's not pretend. It's real. Love each other with genuine affection. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promise of your word, that you would be with us, that you would give us the church, that you would connect us together by your Spirit, that when we are together, we're better, connected to the fullness of what you want to bless us with. So, Lord, help us to connect not only to your Spirit, but to support each other in every moment, whether it be in walking together, working together, watching and waiting together, weeping together, witnessing together. All of it, Lord, we give to you, for we want it to be real, and we want it to be true to you, for we serve you in an audience of one. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given us, and we ask for your Spirit to guide us and direct us each and every day. Help us, Lord. This we pray in your name. Amen.
Okay, I want to invite you guys to sing with me. You can stand if you wish. You don't have to. All right, sing Worthy of Every Song.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live.